This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hanglin. You got the Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford. We are in Allen live at the Dallas Card Show, 777 Waters Creek at the Marriott. If you want to come and see us, or you might be listening and be like, I don't want to come see you guys. Mm-hmm. First of all, hurtful. But second of all, you want to go to the biggest consistent card show in the country. This is the place to be. And Corey, we have, for now, not one, not two, not three, but four giveaways, and we might have more as the day goes along.
Yeah, all you have to do in order to win one of these giveaways is come out to 777 Waters Creek, come hang out with us, check out the show, come up to our table in a break.
While supplies last.
In a break, yes, while supplies last, and give the code word. Ooh. The code word is, what did Kevin say yesterday?
Why? That's not a code word.
It's a you're right. It's a code phrase. It's a code phrase. What did Kevin say yesterday that he loves? Just come up and tell him that, and then you get to choose a number, and you could win one of these prizes. And the other thing, too, Kevin, kids are on spring break this week.
That's true.
Kids are on spring break next week, too. And so here's my suggestion this weekend.
Soft.
If you're a beautiful...
Oh, you don't get both.
No, two spring breaks.
Okay, gotcha.
A beautiful mom and you want to take your kids to go do something fun, bring them to the card show. If you're a handsome dad and you're like, these kids are a lot, bring them to the card show. Get out here. Buy some cards today.
What Trade if you're not cards. Good looking?
Everybody that does a good job with their kids... they're good looking to me. You know, they're taking care of their
All
kids.
Right,
they're
I
handsome
gotcha.
And beautiful. And look at that, our friend RJ. Oh, hold on. Oh, he said, shh, be quiet.
Yeah.
My apologies.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Shut the hell up, Corey.
I love him.
You say our friends at Leaf who helped sponsor this. By the way,
gotcha.
You know who else is helping sponsor the Dallas Card Show? CardHobby.com. You know where they're based in? China.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Now,
this is an international
look
show, man.
We've done it, man.
All right.
We've really done it now.
We have a lot to get to.
Yep.
And I know we need to talk about DeMarcus Lawrence and Mike Parsons from the 806. Shout out to me. I called it yesterday when I texted in asking if Micah and D-Law didn't get along. Yes, yes, you did. But I can't. I think Mike has poisoned the well for me on this one particular player.
Mm.
Because the Dallas Cowboys signed Miles Sanders. And all I can think about is Mike... defiantly going, Mommy, please love me. Let me play in the NFL. Because he thought Miles Sanders was a big, giant baby. And maybe it's that. Maybe it's his production when he was terrible in Carolina when he signed a big contract after that one really awesome season that he had that I'm like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the other reason I don't like this move is it makes me think, do they think Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders are the dudes and they're not going to draft a running back? Because that would be infuriating.
I think that it still lends itself to if we draft a guy, at least we have a lot of bodies and bodies capable of being running backs in the NFL.
Okay.
They've been around the league for, Miles Sanders is 27 now. He started when he was 22. Kevin, you and I know that we've made fun of Miles Sanders for a long time on this show. I think it was the line where he said, "I'm finally going to get the respect I deserve."
Yes.
And we were just like, oh, my gosh. And so, like, he still has to earn that respect. And, I mean, if you look at his contract status, that proves that. So, when it comes to the running back position, Kevin, I think that they're doing what they can to make sure they have it filled. And if they can't get it in the draft, they at least have some bodies that can hold up for it. But they are not the answer at running back. However, it is two different styles of running back that you're putting back there. Neither one of them are electric blow-you-away guys, but they are two uniquely different running backs to put in the backfield.
Now, I know what had everybody buzzing and talking yesterday was the back and forth between DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. So, before we get to the specific quote, I want to go to cut number 11. And this was last year at the Super Bowl. And this is what really upset a lot of people about DeMarcus Lawrence to begin with.
All honesty, I think the main thing is, who's burnt out, man? You know, long season, team dominantly healthy throughout the season. You know, the legs get tired.
All right. So we'll go from that to my question is going to be, we're going to go to cut number 10. Tank Lawrence signed with Seattle, who obviously is awesome, and he'll definitely win there. Was DeMarcus Lawrence burnt out after he said this?
You know, Dallas is my home. Made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there. So, yeah. Yeah. We here.
Okay. There's a lot to that. A lot of players seem to leave this organization and then say things about the organization on their way out.
And that's the tough part, is I don't necessarily think he's wrong.
Yeah, either. And a lot of times we're like, "Ooh, Cowboys fans that have not seen this before are probably freaking out and like, how could you do this?" Lots of guys have left and said things about this organization. Yeah. So there are bits of it that are definitely true. The other thing that is true, though.
It's true.
What makes anybody believe that in the next, how many years is he with that contract? 3 years with them?
Yeah.
That he's going to win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of rebuilding. You know, you're watching that right now. They're changing personality in that locker room. It set up for a lot of spice last night. Cowboys Twitter was going nuts. It was great drama if you wanted to be involved with it at all. My friend group, our fantasy football group, is texting, and everybody's getting lit up in this one, Kevin. Jerry, Steven, everybody is getting lit up.
He was just making a factually accurate statement because he doesn't play for the Cowboys anymore. And he's like, I'm not going to win with the Cowboys because I don't play for the Cowboys.
When you play, yes. When you play, too, you have to protect the logo.
Mm-hmm.
You have to protect the laundry. And so he had to protect them while he was here. Now that he's not, he's like, you know what? I can say things about them. Micah going at him afterwards kind of sets up two different feelings on this. Is Micah is now defending it. Like, look at this, man. I'm the one standing up to everybody that's going to come after us. The other thing, too, is Micah is sounding like he is paid by the Cowboys to defend
the
thing that's going on here. So that's where that feeling is.
And I saw somebody text something in earlier that was like, it's all these new players trying to talk their S and they haven't really accomplished anything. I specifically want to know from people, like, what do you consider an accomplishment? Is it all pro? Is it Pro Bowl before you can start running your mouth? Is it playoff success? Because if that's the case, DeMarcus Lawrence, if it's playoff success, he didn't accomplish anything here either. So that's just what I want clarification for people on. And now Micah Parsons, if this was a regular franchise, that probably would have been the end of it. Maybe we could have all moved on with our life and everything like that. But it was not. So Micah Parsons quote tweeted that clip and said, "This is what rejection and envy look like! Exclamation point. This is some clown S! Exclamation point." And then he put a clown face. And again, in a lot of places, that would have been the end of it. But it was not. DeMarcus Lawrence responded, "Calling me a clown won't change that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left." All right. So that ups the ante quite a bit. Now, I know I saw some people saying, but DeMarcus Lawrence, you also didn't win while you were here, and you're responding in a tweet. So you told them to not tweet and win, and you're tweeting and didn't win. So I understand the logistics of that fire back. A lot of people thought it was an amazing comeback. A lot of people thought it was logically flawed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave that up to whatever you guys think.
It is not one of those things where I'm picking a side on this. I believe a lot of the things that DeMarcus Lawrence said. I believe he wouldn't win a Super Bowl here.
And yeah, for the record, can I just add on to that? I agree with you about that. I don't think he said anything that was inaccurate.
I also see and agree with the way Micah's perception should be right now. Is I got look, the guard has left. It's changed to me. Now it's my turn to do all these things that I want to accomplish. I would have loved if he had been doing all those things while he was here before, but I guess he had to wait for somebody else to leave because that guy had the locker room. And when he said the other day, when he said my time, because that was the moment where you were like, oh, okay, like this is Micah saying he's ready to take the locker room because DeMarcus Lawrence had a stranglehold on it before because he was the most tenured guy. He'd been here for 11 years.
Now do you, and this might be reading way too much into it, but after that back and forth, maybe not. Now do you read that as he had a stranglehold, maybe because of tenure, but it wasn't the right one, and so he's the guy who's going to be in charge, not because he's the next man up, because he's got a better way of doing things?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm seriously asking that question.
Micah has the, because he has a better way of doing things, is that what you asked?
Yeah, that Micah was like, yeah, you're in charge because you've been here the longest, but I don't think you do things the right way. Or maybe he was doing the right things the right way, and it still didn't work, and Micah was like, that's why you should let us have more fun. I'm seriously asking. I'm not sure about
that. Yeah, I mean, again, Kevin, it does come back to the culture that Jerry Jones has let exist around the Star. And Stephen Jones, the culture that they've let that grow into. That's why Schottenheimer, right? Schottenheimer's first thing to sell to the Joneses was, we got to change what's going on in this locker room. And that could be, Kevin, why some of these names are leaving, have been leaving. Because as Shotty was sitting around watching this team, he was like, that dude doesn't work hard enough. He's not doing what I need him to do. Maybe he was checking little boxes on some of these guys all along and saying, well, as far as culture is concerned, that's not going to help. And that's the old Michael Irvin thing, right? This guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, they're all losers. Get them out of here, Jimmy. And Jimmy said, okay. I don't know that I'm going to give Schottenheimer that much credit yet. I want to see it before I believe it. But it is a theory floating around in my brain right now.
Now, one thing that I did think, because you brought it up, like I'm more apt to follow, you know, like Cowboys people or fans or whatever than, you know, pretty much any other team. But the meme that goes around everywhere, usually it's in a political context. This is going to be a political-free context right here. But it's that Christian Bale. I think he's got glasses on and he goes, now do this. When he's like, hey, you said this, now do this. That was the one thing I wish somebody would have posted. And if they did, I just didn't see it when they're like, oh, DeMarcus Lawrence, he only had one sack in 7 playoff games. And I just wanted that Christian Bale to be there and be like, now do Micah's.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like he has had any sense of a dominating run in the playoffs either. I'm not saying that they're wrong about DeMarcus Lawrence, but if you just point out that one part and pretend like it undercuts his point, I don't think that's accurate because Micah has also not been a game wrecker in playoff
games. Yeah, the whole team itself
has
let itself down whenever those moments come along. And a lot of the time, Kevin, I don't think it's because of talent or lack thereof. I think that they just, the commitment of it and what excellence is doesn't exist in that locker room.
Which one of those?
I think that, like, Dak inspires team and give what you got.
Yeah.
Like, Dak definitely inspires, give me these things and we can go fight for it. But nothing in me sees somebody that inspires, let's be better than anything we've ever seen before. Because none of those guys know how to be that.
Okay.
Even your coach right now only kind of knows it by observing.
Right. Do you think, which is scarier just to you? And then people can weigh in, obviously. I want to know, Frankel, injury attorney, text line, 877-881-1053. Which is scarier for us Cowboys fans? That they don't have that. That they don't have that, like, organizational drive for greatness. Or is it that they really can't identify the proper talent? Like, are you more scared that they don't have that, like, extra?
You know how the Rangers can't develop pitching?
Yes.
That's what it is for me.
Okay.
Is that they haven't been able to develop a culture of excellence.
Okay.
And I think that comes from the fact that the people at the very top of the thing don't demand it from them. And Kevin, you know this, man. You work for a newspaper that's like, hey, we're good being mediocre. You're going to be mediocre.
That's true.
If you work for somebody that's like, no, we don't stand for any of these small mistakes like that, and you're going to be gone. You have a different level of what you expect of yourself. Somebody did point out, go to an actual contender and then fire shots. He was going where he could get his money before he's done.
Because you think this is probably the last real contract.
The Cowboys weren't paying me what I'm going to make here.
Sure.
And so if I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there, I'm not going to give them a discount. So I'll go here. That's what he was saying. I'm going to go here to get the money, even if it is that I'm not going to win a Super Bowl, because they're going to pay me more while I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting. I think some people overreacted by saying, finally, somebody said the quiet part out loud. I feel like all kinds of people,
a lot of people have been saying,
have said this exact same thing. So I personally wasn't offended by DeMarcus Lawrence saying that, because honestly, I don't really think he's that wrong. And secondly, I think a lot of people have said that on their way out the door,
mm-hmm.
or they've had success like DeMarcus Ware on their way out the door to kind of hammer home the point.
I really did. I did love the idea and the concept of what the Hot Boys was supposed to be. Okay, like it was supposed to be like we have performed at this level that everybody deserves this. But then they started just giving it away, you know, and then it became more of a flashy thing. And hey, guess what? We're gonna use it as part of our brand. And that became the thing over everything else. But again, brand is the most important thing at the Star right now.
Yeah.
And it has been for a long time.
And don't you think that is the concern? Whether you think it's fair or unfair, do you get the sense?
Also, hold on real quick.
Yeah.
Mike is about to get a very big payday.
Yeah,
there is
for sure.
No way that dude wants to sit there and trash his company.
No,
bad things while he's about to be paid, what, $40 million a year.
And don't you think a lot of folks view Micah as one of those guys that cares more about the brand than he does winning? I'm not saying
extremely
that if
talented.
You search inside of him, that's true. But I think that's the perception because of the podcast and the tweeting and everything like that.
Yeah, no, people definitely feel that way about it. He's extremely talented. He's got all these things, and he has other interests too. And there are lots of players that are like that in sports. I don't know, though, that like if you point a Shohei Ohtani, what's his? He goes to hit baseballs and then goes to sleep. Like that's his life.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what
10 hours a night.
That's kind of what everybody's like. That's what I want all my athletes on my team to be: is eat and sleep football and just go live life that way, not have any other interests. Unfortunately, that's not the thing.
From the 214, it is a shout out Friday. Can I get a shout out for getting a job for Garland ISD in their transportation department? Absolutely, it's a shout out Friday. Yeah, congratulations indeed. Coming up next, we are live at the Dallas Card Show in Allen, but somebody brought it up. Hey, fellas, it's a Stars Friday. So coming up next, Dallas Stars TV host and analyst, Emmy Award winner, and the man who knows everything about hockey, Brian Ray, next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you Dallas Stars TV host and analyst, Emmy Award winner, and the man who knows everything about hockey.
It's true.
It is Brian Ray. Good morning, sir.
I love looking at my X feed right now, and I see you guys putting up screenshots as I'm putting up gifts of coming on. Like this, this is the hardworking journalism that's about to occur. Apparently, we're just goofing around like a couple of idiots on X/Twitter, depending on what you're calling it at this point.
Okay, well, with that in mind, I will ask you perhaps a little bit of a nonsense question. The other day, the Seattle Kraken scored a goal in 4 seconds in overtime. If you're the other team, how do you give up a goal in overtime in 4 seconds?
Maybe it's better that it wasn't three. You know what's
that's a good point.
What's the scene from the movie Tin Cup when he's harassing Kevin Costner about missing the birdie putt, and he's like, well, or how he finished with like an 82 or something? He's like, well, I missed a birdie putt on 18 from however many feet, so I finished with an 82 instead of an 81. That's how I ended up at an 82. That's the first thing that popped into my head.
Yeah. I believe it was the fastest overtime goal in the history of the NHL.
Yeah.
Like, that's tough.
You know what? I was to answer your question seriously. I was just listening to another podcast this morning about this, and they were talking about that. And the two broadcasters were describing the play and what was coming up. It was a really good scouting setup from Seattle, because I believe it was Montreal they were playing. Montreal had their top goal scorer sitting on the bench. In the event that Montreal won the faceoff and got possession, he would have immediately hopped on and they would have been off and running. So I think Seattle essentially, to go football terms on you, they jumped the route or they jumped the snap count and caught Montreal on their heels, which turned into a 4-second goal.
Now, we talk a lot on the station about frustration with the Cowboys. Clearly, everyone in the Metroplex is still mad at the Mavericks. And the Stars have been rocking along, having a tremendous season. You can make a really strong argument. They're the best team in the NHL. Do you think frustration with the Mavs or the Cowboys is leading to more folks getting into the Stars?
I'm not going to go that far, and I'm a sports fan in general. So obviously, when I saw the Luka trade, I was just as shocked as other DFW sports fans. But I'm also so locked into hockey that I am not fully entrenched in what's going on in Mavs world. I would say this for the Stars specifically. I think the Four Nations tournament kind of did a little captivation and maybe some reinvigorating of the casual sports fan or casual hockey fan. And the fact that it's sort of streamlined right into this final 20 game run with the Stars team that is essentially top five in the NHL, I think that stokes the fires a little bit. I also think when the Stars make the splash trade for Mikko Rantanen, now you're adding a little bit of an accelerant to that fire that's been stoked. And now the Luka trade and the negative reaction, or certainly the hurt emotions from sports fans around this place. Yeah, maybe they said, you know what, I'm frustrated with one team, I'll pay attention to the other team right now. Oh, wow, look at that. They're actually doing pretty well. I don't think there's any one thing that specifically ties to what could have happened with the Mavs or what could have happened with the Cowboys or even the Rangers having a down year, but they certainly look like they're ready to bounce back. But I do think if you're a casual sports fan, yeah, sports is an escape. You're looking for some fun. You're looking for some success. You're looking to feel good about yourself, your city, and your team, because that's the whole point of escaping from a 9-to-5 reality. And sure, you could argue right now the Stars could be the current best escape, because they are going to make a Stanley Cup run. They have certainly put their chips all in to do whatever they can to try and chase a Stanley Cup. May not work out. You know, we all may get our hearts broken in a month and a half, 2 months from now, because that's just what sports does to us. But if I'm a sports fan, I want my team to push all the chips in when they have a real opportunity to. You have to be calculated. You have to be patient. But there does come a time for each franchise where you do kind of have that crossroads. Are we taking a swing for the fence? We don't want the two-run double. We're swinging for the fence. And Jim Nill decided, I'm swinging for the fence this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was telling Kevin, the Granlund goal over the weekend was the one that made me realize how great Mikko is, because he's standing in front of the net and he has two defenders all over him, and Granlund's wide open. Maybe the greatest dive shot I've ever seen in my life. But that is what is going to happen whenever you add an elite scorer like that. It must have, for the guys around the hockey world and the guys in the Stars world, must have been a big fist pump whenever that Rantanen deal went down.
It's from my experience, when teams have really good seasons, I think it's important for GMs to reward that team. To say you guys have earned the right to get an additional tool, an additional club put in your bag to try and chase a championship. And I, you know, Jim Nill mentioned that when he acquired Mikhail Granlund and Cody Ceci, that was the first reward of you guys have managed these injuries, this schedule, the Finland trip, you know, the Four Nations, all this stuff. You've managed it so well. You deserve a little bit of relief to come in to try and alleviate things. Then when the Mikko Rantanen thing happened, how do you not send that message to your room of, let's do it? This is, I want to go for it. I'm giving you every tool I can find. I want you guys to go for it. And I don't know if this is, hand in hand. But when I was in the locker room yesterday after they finished practice and before they left for the plane, the room was a little testy, but in a good way. Like, I was chatting with Jake Ottinger, and Matt Duchene just started barking at him to get his pads out of his way. And then, you know, Casey DeSmith, they were talking about the Minnesota Vikings, and Casey DeSmith started barking across the room at Ottinger and Duchene, and then they started throwing shade at the Green Bay Packers. And I'm like, okay, you guys are all barking at each other and chirping right now, but this, I think that there's a little attitude in this room right now, because I think they are excited to go play this game tonight in Winnipeg, and they are excited for the opportunity that has been presented in front of them. So all of this, I think you could argue, is the trickle-down effect of getting a high-end superstar player and signing him to an 8-year extension to put him in place of, this guy is going to be a part of our core for the next 8 years. I do think there is call it a renewed confidence, a renewed swagger, which a lot of the teams at the top of the NHL are feeling right now. But I think there is a renewed excitement in the room to, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel that playoffs are coming.
Now, one of the other things over the weekend on the broadcast, I heard them mention Rantanen's used to playing more of a percentage. They kept saying Dallas has four lines. In my mind, I was like, does every other team only play with three lines? I've never seen this before. But then I started thinking, it's like, it feels like that means that Dallas has four lines that they're definitely confident in. So that might mean Rantanen doesn't play as much as he's used on teams that only have three lines that they care about. Am I right? Am I going right on this in the right direction there?
Yeah, you are. It's a little bit of style of play, and it's part necessity. So let's start with the Dallas Stars side of things. Peter DeBoer's philosophy is he always wants to roll four lines. That's the buzz quote you will always hear. And if you're rolling four lines consistently, it means two things. One, you consistently have momentum and you're pushing back on the other team. And two, you're limiting the minutes that every other line is skating on the ice. So you're not overtaxing one set of your forward lines. And it's the same thing with your defensive pairs. In Mikko Rantanen's case, when he was playing in Colorado, they have been so top-heavy since they last won the Stanley Cup a few years ago that Mikko Rantanen would consistently be playing 22 to 27 minutes a night, given the situation. If Colorado was down in the third period, well, they were just rolling out that top line every other shift because that was their heavy artillery to try and come back in a hockey game. Now that Mikko Rantanen comes here, he doesn't have to do that. In theory, he doesn't have to do that. He can do that. You know, the other night when Roope Hintz got injured, Mikko Rantanen was the one that was essentially getting double shifted and playing on not one, but maybe one or two lines, because he does have that in his DNA. He's used to playing extra minutes like that. But it's sort of, if you reduce the minutes over the course of an 82-game regular season, then those players are going to be fresher for the playoffs. It's almost like load management, but without it being load management in a way. So that's what rolling four lines means. If you can consistently spread minutes across your four forward lines, you're not overtaxing somebody over the long haul as you get to the latter part of the season and into the playoffs.
Do y'all agree then that he can be not like one of those?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're talking with Brian Ray right here on 105.3 The Fan. My next question was going to be, I know there's time, but if the Stars are going to win the Central, they need to get 2 points, preferably in regulation, tonight, right?
Yeah, so I think the Stars have two games left head-to-head with the Winnipeg Jets. I think they need to win both. Preferably in regulation. That puts 4 points in your bag. They're 8 points back. All right, so let's do a little math here. If you win those two games in regulation, you just took 4 points back from Winnipeg. They also have two games in hand entering tonight. Winnipeg's played two more games. If you win those two games in hand in regulation, you get those 4 points back, and now you've closed the gap. But something that I always do when you get to about 20 games left in the season, and that's where we are, Winnipeg is 8 points ahead of Dallas. That's 4 wins in the standings. So for the rest of the season, Dallas has to play essentially a four-win pace ahead of the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
If Winnipeg goes 10-10, Dallas has to win 14-6. If Winnipeg goes 12-8, Dallas has to go 16-4. And as good as Winnipeg has been, this is where it gets difficult the deeper you get in the season. The games in hand and the head-to-head matchups can really swing things, but Dallas essentially has to play at a four-win pace ahead of Winnipeg for this final quarter of the season. That's how I've always looked at it in terms of a standings picture and when you're chasing teams in front of you.
Is this about as full of a toolbox as DeBoer's ever had with the Stars team?
Yeah, I will admit the one question mark I have for Dallas is the blue line. I thought before Miro Heiskanen was injured, they still needed to go get another defenseman, preferably top four. And Jim Neal told us after they took care of business on the trade deadline, they put Miro Heiskanen on LTIR during the trade deadline almost preemptively in case there was another move out there that they wanted to make. That tells me, speculating a little bit, that Jim Neal was poking around outside of the Rantanen deal at something else that might have been out there, and it just simply never came to fruition. So, the blue line, I think it's a fair question mark to ask given how top-heavy the Western Conference is.
Yeah.
You know, between Winnipeg, Vegas, Dallas, and Colorado, all four of those teams are they've got a legitimate claim to the throne out of the Western Conference side of things. So that's the one question mark for me. But yeah, this does look like the deepest Dallas team top to bottom that we've seen in the DeBoer era. And this is not including Tyler Seguin or Miro Heiskanen potentially right. returning near the end of the regular season into playoffs. We don't know, one, if, two, when, and three, where are they going to be at in terms of playing level because they're coming off major long-term injuries. Those are three major question marks, but also it's hard to not salivate a little bit at the potential that could occur if those two are able to come back and make this team even deeper.
Now, I think I can guess the answer to this question, but I want to try a hypothetical. Mm. If you could never win an Emmy again and had to give up the Emmy or Emmys that you already have, but it means the Stars win the Cup this season,
are you
taking that deal?
Every time I come on this show, you guys do this to me.
He gives you very difficult. Yeah, yeah.
It's tough. Brutal. It's brutal. I mean, my answer is going to be yes, mm-hmm. obviously.
That's probably good.
But I have to get greedy with my yes.
Oh.
I want a drink out of that thing.
Heck yeah, you do.
Just okay,
one, we all do.
Just one
deal.
Just one little baby sip. Just one little baby sip. Let me just drink out of that thing if they win it.
You know what I like that you just did? Whenever people hear these ridiculous hypotheticals, they're not always prepared with a counter.
Mm-mm.
You came to the table with a counter, so I approve your
Close
deal.
That deal.
Accept
That's a good
it.
One. I like it.
Thank you very much for jumping on with us, good sir. Always appreciate it.
Appreciate it, boys. Enjoy the weekend. It's going to be some fun hockey.
All right, excellent. Talk to you again soon.
There you go, Brian Ray right here on 105 Through the Fan, and he's right, man. This is a humongous game tonight against Winnipeg. And on the flip side, I know we talked about, like, hey, can you win both the games in regulation? And if so, get a chance to make a run at it. It feels like the opposite might be true, and you might think there's enough games to still overcome it. It feels like if you were to lose this game to Winnipeg tonight in regulation, that might mean the best you can hope for is C2.
Hey, but you know what? As we said, Kevin,
not going
to
happen.
Cooper Flagg does not need to win the ACC tournament. He needs to win
okay.
the NCAA tournament.
You know what? That's a good-ass point. Thank you very much. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at the Dallas Card Show in Allen. Coming up next, baseball nuggets. Adolis is back and brought his bat. But what about his defense? Next on the Fan.
He's given up 18 homers now. There's a swing and there's a drive to right. Adolis back at the wall. He leaps and he's got it. At the top of the wall, Adolis Garcia robs Royce Lewis. Tremendous play by Adolis.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at the Dallas Card Show, and we got a lot of stuff going on. Now, Corey
yeah.
is about to open a box of cards with a lot of pressure on him. It's Leaf Vivid Baseball. We got courtesy of R.J. Dukes and McKinney. That just came out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Wyatt Langford autographed jersey to give away.
Do you want me to show it on the screen?
Yes, courtesy of Worth Collecting in Waxahachie. And we're here at the Dallas Card Show in Allen, 777 Waters Creek in the Marriott. And they gave us three amazing cards courtesy of Leaf to give away, including a Michael Phelps autograph out of 25 and a jersey card that has eight pieces of jersey in it, numbered to three. And
it's got Kobe, LeBron, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Dwayne Wade, Giannis, Tracy McGrady, and Kevin Garnett all in it.
Unbelievable.
Part of their DNA right there inside
of this. Oh, my gosh. Thing. So if you want to win that and then give it to me, that would be okay as well.
Yeah.
If not.
Or if you want to take it home.
What's the code phrase that pays, Corey?
What Kevin said yesterday on air. So if you were listening yesterday on air and you found out what Kevin loves, then you also need to know that Kevin, every time I put the cards back over there, Kevin rearranges it because he needs it a certain way.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, that is exactly true.
I just noticed that every time I put them over there, I stack them up diagonally. I like it.
And so come out to the Dallas Card Show, hang out, party with us, get lots of great deals, but also you have an opportunity to win some incredible stuff here. Now I'm going to hand this box over to you.
This is my box.
And we're going to
then I get to open.
Yes. We're going to do a combination right here. We're going to do baseball nuggets and open baseball cards. Are you ready, Corey? Well, you've already started to open the box, so I think
I'm just getting the plastic
off. Okay. I think you are ready.
I'm getting the protection off of it.
Now, I wanted to throw this out there because Adolis Garcia popped back, hit a home run. We're all super happy about that in the spring training game and, like, rock on. But my question is about the defense.
All right.
Because in 2023, Adolis Garcia, Gold Glover, 7 defensive runs saved.
Yep.
Last year, -5.
He wasn't great last year.
So my question is twofold for you guys. How important will a return to defensive form be for Adolis Garcia, and do you believe he will get it done?
If he's healthy. Something was wrong with him last year, dude.
Despite what the Rangers were like,
and a lot of teams do that. They do that to protect their players and everything. But as long as he's healthy, I think he has the speed to do it. He has the body to do it. He has an arm to be a great assist put-out guy. And so that's really what you get out of him is he has a cannon out in right field. Can the offensive difference make up for it? Sometimes you don't want that, right? You don't want to be as bad as he is. Because remember what happened in the World Series when Vlad was there out in right field. You're like, okay, he needs to hit a home run to make up for those 3 that he gave up bumbling around in right field. I still love Vlad, though.
I know that you do. Now, this is a special edition of Baseball Nuggets and Baseball Card Nuggets brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. All right, Corey, what are we opening up?
This is Leaf Vivid 2024 baseball card set. And
it just came out today, despite the fact that it says 2024. The card world likes to get wacky like that.
This just came out today?
That's right.
Okay.
Or maybe yesterday.
All right. So it has a little plastic case.
Fancy.
The cards come in like this. And so, Kevin, I don't know. Is there there's one like in the middle? How does this
so
work?
So the thing with Vivid
we don't know
is
yet.
There's 7 cards, 2 terrible base cards,
okay,
and 5 autographs. I'm just kidding. Maybe the base cards are amazing, but you get 5 autographs in there.
All right, we got a rookie card here. It is Travis Bazzana.
Is that one of our base cards?
That is, yeah, sure.
It doesn't have an autograph on it.
That
it's
is a base.
Or it could be a parallel.
All right. This rookie is a Braden Montgomery.
Ooh.
All right. Autograph. We got a
What is that number, too?
The rookie?
Yeah. Is it numbered on the back?
6 of 7.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah. And then the other one is 2 of 6.
Oh, wow. In my face, not a terrible base card.
Yeah,
an amazing parallel.
Base card,
I take it
dummy.
Back. And I'm just kidding about the base card.
One of the autographs, Heaven. Yilber Diaz.
Okay.
Or Diaz, if you're fancy.
I am fancy.
Okay. Another one of the base cards, Angel Mar- or I'm sorry, the autograph cards, Angel Martinez.
Woo, that's numbered as well.
And then Eric Bitonti. I'm not going to lie, dude. I don't know how to say some of these names.
This
sometimes
is my new favorite segment.
Bitonti. That's one of the guys. Henry Lalane.
Okay.
And then Samuel Basalo. So we have, five autographs.
And it looks...
And two rookie cards numbered to 6 and 7.
And it looks like all of those autograph cards were numbered. So that is phenomenal.
Five of 8, 4 of 9, 4 of 6... Hold on, I'm going to get all of them. 1 of 9, and then I don't know about this. 5 of 7.
Okay, wow.
There's not many of these cards out there, guys.
So high end on all of those, the most any of them were number 2, I believe you said, is 9.
Yeah, 9.
So that is freaking incredible. I'll make the argument that if you can build a base set of all of this, then you're ahead of the game. That is phenomenal.
I won't argue with you about that.
And you know what? Maybe we'll just give those cards away, too,
as
the show goes along.
We're practically giving them away.
Except we really are giving them away. All right, something I want you to keep an eye out for tomorrow.
From the 972, that Basio for Baltimore, massive pull.
Yes.
So there you go. Oh, man, a lot of people excited about this right now, Kevin.
Okay.
On the Fantech.
Should we give it away? For people that show up to the Dallas Card
Absolutely.
Show?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yes.
Done. Come up to the Dallas Card Show. We can make
your
that
dreams come true.
Happen. I mean, if your dreams are to get one of those cards, then for sure.
Yep.
All right. Tomorrow, the spring breakout game. So the Texas Rangers are going to play the Giants tomorrow at Scottsdale Stadium, 7.05 p.m. This is something that I always think is super fun because the spring breakout game, obviously we're paired up with the Giants, but it's essentially our best of the best throughout all the different minor league systems versus the all the different minor league levels versus the best of the best that the Giants have to offer across all of their minor league levels. So I think that should be really fun. Obviously, if Osuna's still going to play in that game, because I know he's been up with the big club, and then Sebastian Walcott will be what a lot of folks are paying attention to.
When it comes to Osuna, like, don't you think that he needs to just be on the field as much as he can?
Probably.
Just get every rep you can, every swing you can, be out on the field just to continue making that impression.
Yeah, no, that is a very fair way to put it. Now, I want to know if you think this is a fair way to put this.
Mm-hmm.
So Stan Kasten, the president for the Dodgers, this is one of my favorite quotes of the year already.
All right.
Jason Stark asked about the idea of the Dodgers being the new evil empire. He dismissed that by saying...
We wear light blue.
Okay, actually, not as far off as that as you might think. He said, quote, "We are neither evil nor an empire."
Oh.
And I think that is an amazing thing to say. And then he followed up, and then he used numbers. Do you know that the odds makers claim that there's a 75% chance that someone other than us wins the World Series? So it's hard to be evil or that much of an empire if that continues. Now.
So he is acknowledging that they have a 25% chance.
Yeah, because you get his point, right? And like you're like, 25%. But on the other hand, if you have a 25% chance,
and every
other team combined has a 75% chance, like, you can kind of see how that's stilted. But I love that he said, "We are neither evil nor an empire." Corey, do you accept?
At the moment, I do.
Okay.
Listen, and obviously they've been in the National League, so that's another factor that goes into it. Being in the National League compared to the Yankees makes it like very different feel for it. You don't get beat by them all the time. You don't get that feeling of I hate that
True.
Team so much. And then they go out and beat the Yankees. So it feels like they're the good guys. They're the Han Solos here, Kevin.
Oh.
Good guys. Always have been. Team players. Han
Another
Solo.
Team are the Greedos.
So they're or the Luke Skywalkers,
okay.
if you will.
I gotcha.
They are like it feels like but after a couple of years of this, if they keep doing what they're doing and adding every year and stealing the greatest players that are on the free agency list and nobody else can get them, they will be looked at that way. And they did it this year, and people are like, okay, that's fine like for this year. But if they do it next year again and it continues to stack up and they're just winning these championships because they pay the most, then it's going to be frustrating to a fan bases.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at the Dallas Card Show in Allen. Coming up next, track and field assaulters. Yes, still. Minnesota baseball. and maybe even Rich Rodriguez. Do any of these folks deserve Forgiveness Friday? Do you? 877-881-1053. We'll get into it next right here on The Fan.